Every Monday, just after 4:30, we take a moment to talk about financial things, financial decisions, financial implications. I'm understanding the finances of things that we go through. Last week was Talk Money Week, and we started a conversation talking about how well do you have the conversation about money with your kids? Remember that? So much so, even at the end of the week, last week Friday, we actually spoke about that, of how do you have that conversation with your kids. It was a very fun, so to say, conversation, talking about what do kids think they could buy with R1 million, in case you missed that conversation. That's what happened on Friday. But it was really from a perspective of saying, hey, how do we then encourage our kids to understand the value of money and be able to know how to do with money? And in that conversation on Friday, and the voices that were coming in, it was beautiful to be able to hear the kids talking about, I'm going to buy a PS5. Some kids were saying, I'm going to put it away. Some kids were giving to charity. And it was a good mix of understanding of saving, of expenses and buying, but also of being able to give, which is a beautiful thing. But we understand that it's not just limited to our children. It's also including us in terms of how we have these conversations about finances. And joining me back in studio to help us continue the conversation we started last week Monday is Ruvan Khrobla from Boerwes Wealth Management to help us have this conversation. Ruvan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me back, Jose.
It's good to have you back. Happy Monday, Money Monday. And we're talking about a conversation that has a lot of people really uncomfortable. It's a very real conversation. Every time we talk about anything finances, we speak about how people are not sure how to go about this. But let's pick up from where we spoke last week. A big part of the conversation that will always kind of come up as a common theme in the conversation about finance is saving. Saving, saving, saving. And as a society, we don't save often. What's the current climate of South Africans, when it comes to their saving habits?
So it's actually quite funny. It's not really funny. It's actually sad. We are some of the worst savers in the world. We are really not putting away enough money for emergencies, for our own retirement, towards anything. We don't save enough. We really don't do. We should definitely learn a bit from the Europeans and such. They really put a lot of time into it. But I also think, and I think we spoke about it last time as well, I think it's about the education. That's the major point about it. There's not enough education, financial specific education, and definitely opportunity in schools, but also a massive opportunity for anyone out there. How do you actually get into these things? It can be a bit easier. One of those things is to read.
Yeah.
And you just spoke about kids. Kids out there, any book, even if it's fiction, that's fun. And later, just dabble a little bit into a little bit of finances. And there's good books out there, good stories behind the books. Something like Rich Dad Poor Dad from Robert Kiyosaki, The Psychology of Money from Morgan Housel. There's such good books that are also quite practical. They've got a good story and they're very practical, and they do teach you how to do these types of things.
One of the biggest things in creating a culture and making it a norm in the day-to-day to actually get to the saving, one of the common things that comes up, and I mean, I say it's common because I've heard this since I was in school, and now, well into my 30s, I'm still hearing the same thing over and over again, is to have a budget. Do people actually have budgets? Let's start there. Do you find in your line of work that when you sit with clients that they actually have a projection? Or is it something that you just see in corporate, in business spaces, where people understand projections and budgets and spreadsheets in work, but when it comes to the household, is it something that they're carrying through there as well?
You'd be surprised at how few people actually budget. So I work with a lot of professionals, doctors, lawyers, chartered accountants, engineers, and most of them don't budget. I think the major part of South Africa, we own salaries, you don't have unlimited income. So that's the only money that you have. So what do you do with that money? You need to budget. It's the only thing you have. You have to budget that money. Otherwise, you're not going to go anywhere. You'd be very surprised at the lack of budgeting. Doesn't matter where you come from. There's definitely a lack.
Is there, and I mean, some of these questions may sound like they everybody knows the answer, but I want to know, because somebody might be wondering this. Is there a specific amount you should be earning that makes sense, that constitutes for you to have to be making a budget? Because somebody might be thinking, well, Rovan, Khosi, you don't know. I'm earning, what, 1.5 and 800 of it is towards transport and the balance. Is it as important for that person to be budgeting?
Absolutely. Look, money is subjective as well. If you are used to getting through the month with 5,000 rand, if you're used to getting through the month with 10,000 rand, you're used to it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So use what you've got. I know it can definitely be difficult. And I think a lot of people are discouraged because of the lack of funds. Definitely. But you are in control of it. And that's where you budget. So it doesn't matter what your income is or what you actually have in assets. You should be using a budget, because that's how you're going to get to the next step.
Yeah, yeah.
Is using what you have and use it in the correct way, and don't waste money. Put money away. Have money for emergencies, and that's going to push you forward. So definitely. Anyone?
I think one of the things that I always find about a budget is that you also know where your money is going. A lot of us get to the end of the month and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm out of, oh man, I don't even know where it went. Or the opposite happens. You're like, wait, something's not right. My accountant, my bank account has a little bit more than I should have by this date. I don't know where this money comes from.
That's a good problem.
That's a very good problem. But I think it indicates this reality of we're not in touch with what's happening with our finances. So let's get to the practicalities of it. And I think I did say that for today, I'd really love for us to leave people with something that they can do tonight, that they can go home and do something about it today. Is there a specific structure, like a rough idea that one could use when looking at the finances that they receive? Let's do this. For the sake of the rest of this conversation, we'll work with the idea of Mike, and Mike earns 20,000 rand. Or let's call the person Sarah. Sarah earns 20,000 rand. Is there like a breakdown that Sarah should be working with when looking at their entire income in terms of what they spend, save, etc., etc.?
Yeah, absolutely. Like we touched on last time, very, very easy. Get into the 50-20-30 rule. 50% towards your need-to-haves, 20% on moving forward, so investments and savings and so forth, and then that 30% that's left is the nice-to-haves. Okay. So what's actually quite funny is if you get to the end of the month and there's zero in your checking account, that's fine.
Yeah, as long as it actually went to the place it should go.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. So if you've stuck to the budget and you used the money for what it was supposed to according to the budget, and there's nothing left, that's absolutely fine. Why is that fine? Because the 50% of the need to haves, that covers everything that you should have. That covers everything like your house and your only expenses, your travel, your cell phone, these types of things, the things that we need in our normal society. You know.
Yeah.
Very important as well. Part of that 50% should also be your insurance. Your 50% should be part of your insurance. Your medical aid should be part of your 50% of your need to have expenses.
Yeah.
It must be on that side. Another rule of thumb as well. Let's, you know, I know a lot of people that get into their first job after university, and in some of these professions they earn a lot of money, and the first thing they do is they buy a car. That is not the correct thing to do, number one. But number two, a rule of thumb as well, in that need to have expenses, that 50% of your income in your budget, if your car is more than it should be, then you would see it in that 50%, because the rest of your 50% in terms of those expenses won't fit into the 50% because something is too expensive.
So you should see that all your needs should fit into 50%. Yes. In the case of Sarah,
exactly.
Of her 20,000, all of the stuff that she needs to go from one start of the month to the end of the month should fit into 10,000. And if a car is too expensive, then they're going to spill over 10,000.
Correct. That's a general rule of thumb, and that's quite easy to understand. It's really not difficult.
And this is something that one could see. Sorry, just jumping in. I could see this in a car. I can see this with a house. I can see it sometimes even with a medical aid option I've got.
Absolutely.
See that, hey, I might have a higher premium, a higher requiring premium option on medical aid than what I'm able to afford as that 50%.
Absolutely.
This is the hard part that requires then people to adjust their living.
Absolutely. And especially, once again, if you only earn a salary and that's what you've got, you need to work around it. So this really puts it into perspective in the situation that you find yourself in. And if you don't do this, you won't know what is your situation. It's impossible to know. You don't have to be an analytical person. It's not about being that. But putting it into a basic a structure like this, it does make it a little bit easier, and probably even for some people, it will make them feel a little bit better about their situation, because it's probably not as bad as what they thought. Just go back into this. Okay, my income is this. This is 50% of my income. This is all of my nice to up my need to have expenses. I'm under the 50%. Great stuff. What do you do then? You put more towards your investments.
So anything that gets any extra, it's ideal to have it towards the investment.
Absolutely.
It's not towards now I can buy two pies this month and not one.
Well, you know, I feel life is about balance. Let's be honest.
Yes, please.
Life is about balance. So do that pepper steak pie once in a while. That's
okay. Fun. Thank you. Ruvan said you can have that pepper steak pie. Let's talk to someone who's got, we live also in the kind of traditional, and I'm going to go back to the budget now, because I wanted to get you to help break the nice to haves, because it's always like a tough line to differentiate between nice to have and need, because some things we say it's a need, but actually it's a nice to have. And I'm going to get back to it now. In working that 50-20-30, let's talk about the reality where we have the normal working system as what we know it. Varsity, get into a workplace and you work from your way all those years and you move between jobs. Shop, you get a salary at the end of the month. We also have adjacent to this gig economy, this side hustle economy, this business entrepreneur, I work for myself economy. And now it's like, okay, but there's a little bit of a fluctuating between the different months, or there's a plus minus average. How do I then take that plus minus fluctuating every month and work it into this 50-20-30? Do I then, is it a thing I must calculate the average? Does it change per month? How do you advise a person in that space?
There's two parts to this. Number one, always spend less than you earn. Mm. Always. Doesn't matter the month, always spend less than you earn. Second thing is, when you do earn more, then you put that money away. One of the key aspects of any financial planning is emergency funds. You should have at least 3 months worth of your salary saved up in something that's liquid, something that's easy to get a hold of. And that would be like a savings account.
Yeah.
That's fine. So at least 3 months worth of salary. So when that time comes and there's less money than the month before, you've got something to fall back on. That's fine. But general rule of thumb, don't spend more than you earn.
Yeah. I think that's a very good one. And I love the fact that you make mention that anything extra should definitely run to savings. And I'm going to get to the saving element, that 20% just now. Let's get to the 30. You speak about expenses. So 50%, 10,000 Rand of Sarah's 20,000 Rand income should be going towards the necessities, schools, groceries, cell phone insurance, her Wi-Fi, etc., etc. Let's speak about those nice-to-haves. And I say this because I'm looking at the things you've listed here, and some of them I would see them as needs. For example, I mean, you see something like Netflix and DSTV. That looks like a need. I must have DSTV in my house. What do you mean? What am I going to watch?
Once again, very subjective. I think, you know, different households do it differently. I've met people, I'm not one of them, but I've met people that don't watch TV.
Yeah.
And that's fine. What do? They read, or they go jogging or walking with their dogs, whatever. They do something else, you know. So it's very subjective. And remember, that's for the 50, the 20, and the 30. It's very subjective.
Yeah.
It's not a one size fits all. The structure gives you structure, but definitely it's not the same for all of us. Absolutely. But I think once again, even if that nice to haves, you know, that 30%, it can get quite a lot as well. And I think that's why the 20 and the 30 can also, you know, you can change the two around as well and make it rather 30% for savings and investments and 20% nice to haves. Once again, subjective. Some people are not happy with just buying clothes once a year. They want to have something new monthly. You know, subjective. Is it money wasting for some people? Yes. For others, that's how they live their lives.
Yeah.
So very subjective. But once again, don't spend more than you earn. That's fine. So if it fits into that 30%, it's fine.
Yeah, it's, I think, fun. The biggest thing is, can you live a month without it?
Sure.
If you probably can get away a month without eating another pepper steak pie, I'm sure it is definitely a nice to have, not so much
the
a necessity.
Gut can definitely, yes.
But let's talk about the savings. You know, you speak about the 3 months emergency savings that you want to have, 3 months worth of it. I think a lot of people, when they think about savings, and I know I had this mentality for a very long time, and it kept me from saving for the longest time, of going, oh man, I'm not able to put away 2,000 rand away into an account. Let's work in Sarah's account. 20,000 rand comes in, 10,000 is too expensive, 30% is towards nice to have, which is 6,000 rand, and 4,000 rand is towards investments. That's the 20%.
Yeah.
Now I'm going, oh my goodness, my finances are in disarray. I'm not able to put down a proper 1,000. You can hear, if you need to say 1,000, it sounds like it's a significant amount, or 5,000, 10,000 towards savings. So it almost feels like my savings are pointless. Like now I'm going to put away 250 rand. What is that even going to do, right? And I know for me, it kept me back from saving for long because of that. Does it actually matter? And let's speak towards investment and 3 months emergency amount that you're trying to put in. Does it matter the amount that you start with, or is it really about the action of just saving, even if it's 25 rand?
It's about the habit. It's all about the habit. So the amount, it doesn't matter. If you can fit that habit into your life, and actually make it a habit, not a once or twice off thing. You've made it a habit. It will be a habit for the rest of your life. And seeing money in an account or in an investment, and especially if you've seen a bit of growth and these types of things, nothing is better than, you know, you feel like you've earned something. Yeah. You know, there's definitely some gratification there. So the amount really doesn't matter. I think very, very important as well, and I've seen young people make this mistake. And even myself, I mean, last time we spoke about making mistakes, I've also made mistakes, yeah. You know. One of these mistakes is exactly with that emergency savings. If you're young, you think, okay, well, the bank has spoken to me and they want me to get a credit card. Mm-hmm. Right stuff, that's my backup. No, that should not be your backup.
Yeah.
If you've saved money, just put money away that first few months when you've started working. Just put that money away.
Because you're not used to that money.
No, you're not used to that money anyway. Just put that money away. You're not going to need a credit card. And that's where you get into trouble. So from the start, doesn't matter the amount, it will work somehow. Even if it's long term. Saving is short term. Investing is long term.
Yeah.
You need to put money away. You know, people always speak about Warren Buffett, but that really is the truth. He was obviously a billionaire later in his life, but only exponentially started becoming really, really, really wealthy, you know, after the age of 60. You know, that's a really, really long time. And what made him successful? The habits. Yeah. The habits made him successful. Long-term investing, long-term saving, spending less than you earn, stay away from bad debt, unsecured debt, you know, personal loans and credit cards. It's very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
So that's I think some of the things we must definitely look at.
I think there's that moment where you start to fix your posture in the car because you feel like, yo, this is getting a little bit personal right now. But also, I'm so grateful for the fact that you've brought some practical information for us. It feels like Sarah now is able to go back home and really just look at the finances and work at a way to bring it down to that 50-30-20 model that you use. And Ruvan, I understand that you didn't come empty-handed today. You've brought some sort of something that people can be able to apply somewhere tonight to help them do this. Tell us about that.
Sure. So we do have a budget template. So that 50-20-30 that I spoke about, it puts it, I think, into perspective, and I think it's easy to use.
Yeah.
So that's from our side. That's something that we give back. So free to use from us. We do also have another template. It's sort of a 6-step workbook that takes you from the start up until the very end into extreme detail. I've got that as well, but that has a little bit of intellectual property, if I can say that. So if you want that workbook, you're welcome to reach out to me, and I'll send you that workbook. But the budget
is made available
to anyone. Absolutely.
Ruvan, thank you so much. You've made this thing that feels so, so personal and overwhelming and just daunting, the conversation of budget, which I think a lot of people still struggle with. You've made it just a little bit easier for people to navigate through. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Ruvan Khrobla from Boerwest Wealth Management. He is the wealth manager there, and he has just made it available, like he rightfully said. Maybe you're in a space, you're saying, Khosi, I don't know where to start in terms of making a budget, or I don't have a template or something that I'm working from. Pop me a message right now on our WhatsApp line with the word budget, and we'll just send you this template that he's spoken about. and it's easy to use. I mean, I've got it right here in front of me. If you start to put in, you put in your income, so I'm going to work on the figure of Sarah, and immediately it's going to be able to respond to you. If you say, okay, this is what eventually is going to be the net income, it breaks it down all for you so that you're able to do something about it today. Because for us, it's not so much about just giving you the insight that you've got head knowledge that just puffs up, like the Bible rightfully says. It's for us to be able to have knowledge that we can be able to apply today so that we're good stewards of what we have.